Hey, welcome to Some Say with Tom Reynolds. We have a great show for you today. We're going to have Mark Levine on the air. That's right, Mark's going to be here today. He's going to call in just at 3 o'clock. Ironically, right as Obama is going to be taking some executive action, or at least talking about taking executive action, I'm going to have Mark Levine calling into the show, and that's going to be fun. So we got that. We got a whole bunch of things today, and I'm going to call in right now. And we're going to talk to Mark. And just give me a quick... Mark, you there?
I'm here.
You're here. Awesome. We got it working.
Great.
Thank you for doing this. I know we have a small show, but I appreciate it. And you built me. So you can take a lot of credit for that, because after I called you, you gave me the nerve to do this again.
Well, you know, that's part of what free speech is all about, and particularly podcasts allow people that don't have access to the media megaphone to speak. So I'm very glad you're doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it, and I'll go gentle on you.
You know what? You can go rough on me. I've had Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh go after me. So I don't think you're going to say anything that'll offend.
Well, I'll try not to drop any F-bombs on you and go with
you
that.
Know what? It's okay.
Even though
I'll live. Even
today
if you
has do. Today has been an F-bomb kind of day with SCOTUS and everything else. I'll tell you that much.
It is a scary day.
Let's start with that. The Hobby Lobby decision. I have a different take on that. Is it time we have C-SPAN in the courtroom?
Well, I've long felt – you mean the Supreme Court building?
Yeah, it's in session.
I've long believed that. You know, the Supreme Court is one of the few institutions you can walk in and watch the nine justices give their opinion on a case and witness oral argument. I think there's no grounds for denying it, except they're the nation's highest court and they say no. And that's unfortunately true of a lot of their decisions. There's no grounds for them, but they're the nation's highest court, and they say something. Absolutely. I firmly support cameras there. And, you know, I don't know what they're afraid of. It's not like most people watch C-SPAN of the House or the Senate anyway. They only watch when there's big news to be made, and that's the – you know, that's what it should be.
Well, exactly. Exactly that. And I actually did something today. I was shocked that nobody has done this yet. I put a petition on the White House, and maybe you'll sign it on the White House website, asking for C-SPAN cameras in the courtroom.
Sure, but it's not really up to the White House.
Well, I mean, but maybe it might get enough attention to...
Well, you know what? If you really want them in the courtroom, Congress could pass a law mandating it. And that might be something, one of the few things they agree on. I think there's a hard argument against it.
Well, that's exactly what because they always like to wave that freedom flag, and yet we can't watch the proceedings and have a, you know, and watch Clarence Thomas do nothing.
Yeah, no, he hasn't asked a question, I believe, since 2005.
But
so
didn't he?
Eight or nine
he did
years.
Tell a joke, and apparently a bad one at one point, right?
I believe that is the case. Yes.
So we agree on the cameras in the courtroom. My next question to you is: are Republicans relying on extremism?
Are Republicans relying on extremism? That's a very broad question. Can you be more specific?
Well, pick a topic. Hobby Lobby? Well, any of it, really.
Hobby Lobby is a very dangerous case. It's a very dangerous case. This idea that corporations have religious rights. You know, corporations are not people under anything but the figment of Antonin Scalia's imagination. You can go through the entire United States Constitution and you will not find the word corporation in there. As I argued on Glenn Beck's show, I said, you know, liberals happen to think that blacks are people. Conservatives think that corporations are people. Now, we think blacks are much more human than corporations. Yeah. They think corporations are more human than blacks. They're trying to keep blacks from voting. I would think the next step is to allow corporations to vote. They can do everything else, plus they live forever and they never die, and they can't be put in jail.
Well,
so,
that's my next question about that, corporations and being people. Can we have, if Wendy Davis wins and Texas is the death penalty state, can she put some corporations to death?
Well, I think that, look, corporations are a legal fiction. They've always been a legal fiction. They are government entities. You heard me. Government government entities, every corporation that exists is licensed by one of the 50 states, or rarely by the United States Congress, or maybe by a foreign country, but they're government entities that are designed to achieve purposes for which the elected representatives of the government choose. In other words, we the people own the corporations. We can license them. We can give them limited liability. We can take away that limited liability. It strikes me that once a corporation starts practicing religion, mm-hmm. We need to take away its limited liability. We need to tax it more heavily. I mean, it's a for-profit institution. This is not a case of a religious corporation that's, you know, an adjunct of the church. These people sell crafts. Yes. And the next step is very simple. Just go back to Alabama and all those racist institutions. All they have to do is say, no. Blacks are against my religion. It's against my religion to serve black people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it is against somebody's religion.
Bake a cake for me.
The Mormon Church didn't allow blacks to be members until, I think, 1978. Yep. So just simply say racism is part of my religion. Homophobia is definitely part of people's religion. So, you know, suddenly you can get rid of all of the Title VII. I can get rid of all the, you know, paying taxes against my religion. I'm not going to pay taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of a number of things people can start saying. Corporations are a legal fiction, and they have no religious rights. If they have religious rights, then, you know, let's just get away with this crazy idea that they're people. They're not.
Well, that's exactly it. But sometimes you have to use their arguments against them. I've always believed, as a former conservative myself, I try to block that part of my life out. When I was a self-hating gay conservative.
Yeah.
But in your youth, you do stupid things.
Yeah, look, I actually supported the Religious Freedom Restoration Act when it started, because mm-hmm. the case that started it was a case where the United States Supreme Court denied the right of Native Americans to have peyote in their religious practices. Mm-hmm. Now, peyote is a somewhat hallucinogenic drug, not too dangerous apparently, but one that's been practiced by Native Americans in their religious ceremonies for centuries, if sure. not millennia. And Scalia was insistent that no, we got to stop them from practicing their religion, which made me very concerned. I mean, there are laws that keep Jews from keeping kosher or practicing circumcision. There would be laws that prevent Christians from wearing a cross. And the purpose of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was to allow people to freely practice their religion unless it has some overweening government burden. In other words, there's no huge burden for the government to keep people from, you know, wearing a cross or something. So that made sense to me. But now when you extend it to corporations, that makes no sense, because I don't believe that a piece of paper can have religious beliefs. You know, a corporation is a piece of paper. It's a construction of the law. I don't think a desk can have religious beliefs. I don't think a corporation can have religious beliefs. A tree, at least, is a living thing. I think it's more likely that a tree has a religious belief than that a corporation has a religious belief. So there's actually a very simple way because people say, well, what if it's my religious belief? Because this goes further than corporations.
Sure.
I don't think Hobby Lobby, even if it were not a corporation, could discriminate against women or discriminate against gay people or discriminate against black people. And people say, well, what's the difference? If it's my religious belief that all Christians need to be executed, mm-hmm. can I just go ahead and execute them? No, of course you can't. And there's an easy distinction between them. It's very, very simple. Where your religion defines who you are, you should have a right to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Where your religion defines who someone else is, you should have zero right to practice it.
Exactly.
If my religious belief says I don't want to eat certain foods, no one should be able to force me to eat certain foods. If my religious belief says that I want to wear a cross, then no one should prevent me from wearing a cross. But if my religious belief requires you to eat certain foods or requires you to wear a cross, then absolutely you can bar that, because it's a very simple distinction. I should have the right to practice my religion. I should not have the right to impose my religion on other people.
But isn't that what we get to, exactly what they argue about Sharia law and everything else, where they actually say that that's what they're, like the conservatives, like Louis Gohmert, I'm against Sharia law, but Hobby Lobby good.
It's the same thing. Sharia law, look, I am perfectly fine if somebody voluntarily chooses to accept Sharia law in their lives. It's their absolute right under the First Amendment. They can practice Sharia law. They can do whatever they want. The minute they impose Sharia law on me, I got a problem with that.
Exactly.
And
But
it's the
that.
same with every religious teaching, no matter how common or how much extreme. I oppose the laws that ban alcohol on Sundays because I think that's a religious practice that's being imposed on everyone. That may seem a relatively harmless thing, but the answer is you want to practice your religion? Great, this is America. Practice your religion. You want to impose your religion on me? I'll fight and die to prevent you from imposing your religion on me. That to me is entirely what the First Amendment's all about, and it's what's severely wrong with this case.
Now, moving on a little bit, but kind of the Supreme Court and law that you're really good at because you know way more than I do. Your pinky knows more than I do, when it comes to this.
I don't know. I don't think my pinky practices religion any more than patience, but maybe it does. Maybe it does. But go ahead.
the Obama is talking right now actually about the using executive action. Isn't he walking to you and to me? It looks like he's walking into the door of impeachment. Like he's almost
Well, you
like
know
saying,
what?
okay,
You know
do it,
what?
do
Go
it.
for it. Go for it, Republicans. Try to impeach him. The last time you tried a stupid impeachment, Bill Clinton did something that has never, well, I don't know about never, but I think not since the 1930s have we seen an election where in the second term of the president's midterm election that his party has won seats. It virtually never happens because by 6 years into a presidency, most people are tired of the ruling party and they just
Sure.
sort of want to try someone else. If they try to impeach President Obama, it will help the Democratic Party. You can disagree with the president's politics. That's perfectly fine and normal and American. But you impeach because of high crimes and misdemeanors. Disagreeing with the president's politics does not make it a high crime and misdemeanor. It's
So,
not even close.
no, I agree with you, but so in that argument, I mean, I wrote an article that on my website about Bill Clinton, because I didn't want to. Everybody seems to use the W and Ronald Reagan and Nixon argument about the executive orders. I said, no, Bill Clinton did more executive orders than Obama, and he got impeached over a blowjob.
President Obama has done fewer executive orders than any president in the 20th or 21st century. You have to go back to the 19th century to find a president that has issued as few executive orders as President Obama. Now, if you want to ask me about the merits of one executive order or another, we can discuss them. Some I may agree with, some I may not. But Congress, if they don't like an executive order, can pass a law basically banning whatever practice they don't like. What they don't want to do is they know they can't do that because they'd have to have two-thirds of
Sure.
both houses to overturn President Obama's veto. They can't do that. So now they're trying to work outside the system with some kind of crazy lawsuit. It makes no sense,
But
and
isn't that
it will
like the,
certainly fail.
but isn't that just your point, exactly your point? The Glenn Beck talking point, he's a king, he's King Obama, he's a dictator, but then again you go back to the he's a lazy black man because he doesn't do anything. I mean,
President
they seem
George
to
W.
argue both
Bush,
sides of it, don't they?
President George W. Bush took literally tortured people outside American soil. He took people that were our captives in war and terrorists, and instead of trying them in the United States, tried to claim that there's this place, Guantanamo Bay, that's entirely underneath our power but is absent from all constitutional guarantees. That to me is a lot more like a king. The idea that the president can do that, that's a lot more dangerous. Now, President Obama has done things that I completely disagree with. His using the metadata, spying on people's phone calls. I think that's absolutely contrary to the Fourth Amendment. I said it when Bush did it. I say it when Obama did it. So in that
But you're
respect, I
consistent.
think that
That's
was
what I like about you.
I think that's a misuse of executive order. And I think the right way to challenge that is for someone who has been spied on, not Congress, but some individual who's been spied on, to take it to court and to declare the entire practice unconstitutional. I would love to see that. So I am not going to say that President Obama has never gone beyond constitutional limits. I think in that case, he clearly has. Of course, George Bush began the practice and he went beyond constitutional limits, and Obama's merely carrying out what George Bush does. But I don't care who did it. Bush was wrong and Obama's wrong. The point is not that the president, that I don't never feel the president violates the Constitution. I do. The point is that Boehner is going about this entirely in a political way to make some kind of point. It's completely
And to
ineffective. It
raise
won't
money.
succeed. And it won't stop the president from doing anything he doesn't like the president doing. So it's ineffective as well.
Well, it also helps him raise money as much as it helps us raise
I
money.
guess it does help him raise money. I guess it does.
And speaking of that, I we segue in, and I know I don't have a lot more time with you, and I appreciate the time you've given me, Mark. Segue into that. Wolf-pack.com is doing amazing work trying to get an amendment to the Constitution to declare Citizens United DOA and to basically free and fair elections. What are the arguments? I mean, other than they're whiny bitches, what are the arguments that the Republicans that might seem legitimate to you, since you're
The counter arguments?
yes, the counter arguments that
Oh
are
boy.
legitimate
All right, here's the
counter.
counter arguments. When you have money, you have more rights than everybody else. You have the right, basically. We've got to remember that dukes, nobles, and earls, the people that we supposedly fought the revolution against, are better people than the rest of us. They have more money, they have more power. If you have more money, you have the right to more speech. And rich people simply have more free speech rights than poor people, and poor people need to just shut up and stop complaining because rich people own them. Is that not a good argument? Is that not effective? I'm trying to be effective here.
Trying real hard.
The argument really is that free speech is as much as you can buy. It's the idea that instead of us all being equal under the law, rich people have more right to free speech than poor people. And they say that like they mean it. They really do. They say, well, it's his money. He has as much free speech rights as he wants. And you know what? This isn't even about individuals. You know, I don't like that the Koch brothers are funneling hundreds of millions of dollars into our political system, more than every single person in every union put together.
Of course.
But when corporations do it, I think it's a breach of fiduciary duty. You know, I'm a shareholder of some corporations, and I do not want them spending money against my political interests. I don't think corporations have a right to practice politics any more than they have a right to practice religion. They are not people.
Thank
They
you.
are legal fictions. I don't
Thank
want my
you.
desk practicing politics, and I don't want my desk practicing religion. It's a desk.
What about your iPhone? I mean, it can
Well,
read you the
iPhone
Word
actually
Bible.
is a mode of communication. So someone can practice religion through my iPhone,
There
but
you
the
go.
iPhone itself, if Siri starts practicing religion, yeah, I got a problem with her. Sorry.
I got some quickie questions for you.
Okay, real quick, because I got to go.
I'll give you two.
Okay.
A voting mandate like health insurance, yes or no?
A voting mandate. I'm fine with a voting mandate. I don't think it'll ever happen in this country.
And
But like Australia has,
yes, exactly.
I'm fine with that. I would do more though. I would actually mandate that the press actually cover voting. I just ran for Congress, as some of your listeners may know, and it was amazing how little coverage it got in the press. It was ironic. The Washington Post endorsed my opponent. Then just yesterday, they did a front page article. First front page article on the election was after it was over. Where they mentioned that my opponent is a centrist and they can't understand why a progressive district like my own elected
Oh,
a
boy.
centrist. And I'm like, well, maybe because Washington Post, you didn't tell us he was a centrist prior to him winning the election. It's so I've a pox in all their houses. I actually think that there should be a certain amount of free media given to all political candidates, basically like they do in Europe, where you have, listen, we have the broadcasting. In America is licensed to just like everything else, just like corporations. There are only so many airwaves out there that are allowed for radio and TV, and they're done. This radio wave is given to this corporation, and this TV wave is given to someone else. And I think just like the cable companies, we require C-SPAN to do certain things in the public interest. I think we require radio and TV stations. It won't hurt them much. God knows they charge a fortune. But let's say give throughout an entire political campaign 2 hours to every candidate. That they can spice up in a 30-second
Now, would that be
sports.
more? Would that be just a little follow-up? Would that be like a grand bargain to say, okay, maybe not the Wolf-Pack type thing, even though I'm totally for that, and to make a compromise with the conservatives who might be, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, I
Would
know
that
there's
be?
just a lot of issues here. One is that I think that corporations have no right of free speech. I'm sorry. You want, look, if the Koch brothers as individuals want to put money in, they have the right to say whatever they want and really to pay for whatever they want. No one is disputing that. They can dispute the amounts, the levels. We could talk about whether there should be limits on it, but no one is saying that they can't do that. But corporations are supposed to exist to make a profit. Well, nonprofit corporations are something different. We can talk about that in a second. But for-profit corporations are there to make a profit. Now, if they are basically bribing a political official to give them more money from the public fisc. They basically want to take taxpayer dollars, and they think if they give a $1 million ad for candidate X, candidate X will make sure they get $1 billion from the federal government. That to me is bribery, and even if it's legal, it shouldn't
sure.
be.
Sure. No, I agree
if
with you.
If they're spending money that is not going to get them anything back, if they're spending $1 million on candidate X and candidate X is going to give them nothing for it, then you know what? They're wasting shareholder dollars. So either they are breaching their fiduciary duty to shareholders to try to make a profit, or they're bribing public officials. Either way,
it's bad.
Corporations shouldn't be involved in our political process. Now, there are people that come together, and I would call these associations rather than corporations. Mm-hmm. They come together in groups for some political goal. I'm perfectly fine with that. It could be pro-choice. It could be pro-life. I hate the NRA. But I fully recognize the right of the National Rifle Association, which is a group of individuals who strongly agree that people should have guns and we should all be in one massive shootout. I strongly disagree with them, but I would never challenge their right to influence the political process. Sure. I do challenge Exxon's right or Coke Industries' right,
sure,
or because they're spending money that doesn't belong to them. Let the president of Exxon make the CEO of Exxon make his. So that's a separate argument from the general argument that I think there's too much money in politics and the best way to handle it is public financing of campaigns, which is what virtually every other established democracy does. So sorry, I couldn't give you a short answer.
It's okay. You know what? You gave me more time than I wanted. So this is a really quick question. A voting holiday to go along with the
yes.
vote. Yes.
Yes. Only I actually think there should be a voting week.
Voting week.
I think you could have a one-day voting holiday or a voting week. Just allow people to vote every day in a week. And if there's only one day, it should be on a weekend.
What about this? This would be a perfect – we all get all nationalistic around July 4th. What about the week leading up to July 4th and mandated it's already a holiday? Just that's where you vote.
Well, yeah, but people aren't going to want to take their time off from their July 4th celebration to vote. Memorial Day, Labor Day, maybe President's Day.
Okay.
That'd be a good one. It's not something that, I don't know too many President's Day picnics. That one's kind of cold.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I think May or September. Veterans Day.
Make it as convenient as fuck to piss them off.
You know what? I think we probably need a new holiday. That way nobody complains about the loss of existing holidays.
The Voters' Rights Day.
Yeah, no. Just take the Tuesday in November and have people take it off. Tuesday is nice because it's less likely people are going to take 5-day weekends.
Sure.
It's possible. But if we're going to keep the Tuesday, let's have a voting holiday. But I actually think having the week would be good. And I also think that we need to make it easier for employers to let people vote. For example, they're already not supposed to keep you from voting, but they do all the time.
Sure.
I would say anyone who – I don't know, puts their name in a box, whatever. They get 4 hours off mm-hmm. from work with pay mm-hmm. as long as they vote during that 4 hours. And if they don't vote during that 4 hours, they lose the right to get work off without pay. And I bet you voting skyrockets.
I agree with you. And you could even do like the parking validation, the vote that you
– Right. Whether you voted or not. We know whether you signed the voting rolls
sure.
or not. And we could bargain maybe just 2 hours. But the idea is if you vote, you get 2 hours off work with pay.
Sure.
I think a lot of people would start voting if we did that. And way we wouldn't have to make it mandatory. We wouldn't have to have fines. That might be an easy way to get that. So I got lots of ideas that are sort of outside the box.
Mark, when you get more time, you need to come back. And we need to have a further conversation. And again, you built this, so.
Well, Thomas, when you get on national TV and radio, I'll give you a lot more time.
There you go. You have a good one, Mark.
Thanks for having me on, and send me the tape of the broadcast.
Definitely
all right?
will. Definitely
Thank
will.
Thank you. Thank you.